Blog Talk Radio.
This is psychic medium Erica Busserhaney with Second Sight Paranormal TV, and you're listening to The Ghost Coast with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to The Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here, hello, we're here at the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and Weekly.
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to The Ghost Host Sophia on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to The Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
That's right. They're all right. It's The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. As well, feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. And as well, here on GhostHunting.com as well. So you can listen to LiveParanormal.com or GhostHunting.com, and as well, been added to Spreaker too, or wherever you get your podcast. And thank you, Rob Sarek, for providing this format each and every week. And all of our moderators, thank you guys for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed or anything. Thank you guys for all your support through the years. Today, we welcome paranormal investigator, urban explorer, historic site preservationist, tour host, Waverly Hill Sanatorium TikTok content creator, Vince Keelan. Everyone visit the urbaninvestigator.com. That's the urbaninvestigator.com. Instagram at the urban investigator. YouTube subscribe the urban investigator. Coming up, we have psychic remote viewer and author Rick Wade. He'll be on the program on the 16th. Oh, next week, actually. The Haunting Lodge documentary psychic investigator Jill Marie Morris will be returning to the program on the 23rd. Author, teacher, and ghost tour host Robert Oakes will be on the program. First guest of the new year on January 6th of 2024. And Texas Ghost Seekers team founder and clairaudient Alex Fountain will be on the program on January 13th. You don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. We have some great guests securing their spots too as well. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, to check out the membership packages here on LP. A lot of great things where Rob, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience members. They start as low as $2.99 a month. Also, to check out the vendors here on liveparanormal.com. And let's bring in the host here. Also, to archive shows will be available immediately following the broadcast too as well. Sophia, trying to unmute you. A little lag there, a little delay in the muting. But congratulations on over 12 years of broadcasting here.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 12 years.
You're doing a fantastic job. You've helped a lot of people, a lot of families with the psychic ability, home haunting problems and things over the years. Fantastic job, Sophia. You got these Instagrams, Twitters, all these different things. Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram at Sophia Temporelli and Twitter just at Sophia Temporelli with one L.
Yeah, and Vince Keelan and Urban Explorer, we haven't had too many of those on the show, so tell us about your guests.
Today we welcome paranormal investigator, urban explorer, historic site preservationist, tour host, and Waverly Hills Sanatorium TikTok content creator, Vince Keelan. Everyone visit theurbaninvestigator.com, Instagram at theurbaninvestigator, YouTube search theurbaninvestigator. Let's welcome Vince into the show.
All right, Vince. Hey, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, so just to clear one thing up, I'm no longer at Waverly. I know that was a little different to put into the description. I don't want to step on anybody's toes or anything, but yeah, I'm really excited to be here.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. I mean, you do some amazing work, but tell the audience what initially kind of sparked this passion for the paranormal. Was it an experience you had, or have you just always had an interest in supernatural things?
So whenever I was a child, I had my first paranormal experience. Being a normal kid, parents weren't home. They left me at home for the first time ever, and I was acting a fool, running up down the hallways. And I ran back to my bedroom, jumped on the bed, turned around, and I saw a little girl that was hunched over almost like she was crying. I chalked it up to it being like an imaginary friend or something I just conjured up in my own head when I became an adult. But I had always been, growing up, I had always been into like the dark and the spooky. I didn't actually believe in ghosts or the paranormal. And there was a building that sat about 30 to 40 minutes away from me that I had seen on different TV shows like Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures. And at the time, those were the two main platforms. You didn't really know who anybody else was. So you knew Zach and you knew Jason, and that was all you knew. So every Halloween, you'd have like a special. And the first special I ever saw was Ghost Hunters Live from Waverly Hills Sanatorium. And that was I think it was Elijah Burke. It was like the ECW wrestler, I think, was like their special guest. And I'd already seen the episode. But I didn't put it in perspective that the building was as close to me as it was. And we were still in the MySpace era, and then Facebook kind of popped up out of nowhere. So at the time, Facebook was only for, like, college students, and then just kind of out of nowhere, it kind of opened up to everybody. So I had made an account and was playing around and adding people from school and stuff like that. And right around the time that I turned 18, I saw a ad on Facebook to come be a haunt actor at Waverly. So I had thought to myself, I was like, I don't really care about doing, like, haunted house stuff, but maybe this could be my way to get in there and like work like a full-time job. So I went up for the audition. I did all the, you know, scream like a zombie and walk like a Egyptian, whatever the case was. I can't remember all of, or you know, what the audition was, but towards the end of it, I ran up to the owner, and you wouldn't be able to miss her. Her name's Tina Mattingly. So like back in the day, if you saw a red ball of hair floating around, you knew that was Tina. So I had ran over to her and I told her, I was like, hey, I literally live 5 minutes down the house and I would love to come up and help and do whatever you're doing, whether it's like tours or investigating or building a haunted house, whatever the case. So she looked over at her main maintenance guy and was like, well, he lives like 2 minutes away. He has building experience and stuff like that. Let's get him up here. So my first day coming in was to help build the haunted house on the first floor. So, like, you build these walls to make it sort of a maze for people to get through the first floor. By the end of the day, it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Everybody had already went home. Tina and Charlie went out to go eat. And it was hot. It was so mid-August heat. It was disgusting. So I packed up all my tools. I started walking down the hallway. I get down to the end and going to the glass staircase is what we initially call it. And I open up the door. I pull my tools out. I set the alarm. I walk out. And I had parked on the back side of the building. I pull my tools out there. I open the trunk. And I start hearing what sounds like a ball hitting concrete. So I looked up at I turned around at where the noise was coming from, and I looked up at the building, and a red dodgeball comes bouncing out of the fourth floor solarium and bounces through the parking lot and down into the neighborhood. I left all my stuff in the parking lot, trunk wide open, jumped in the car, took off down the hill. I was terrified. I get down there. I get out of the car. I open up the gate. I actually hit the trunk or hit the the lid of my or the I'm getting tongue twisted here. I actually hit the hood of my car getting the gate open, and I start hearing that ball again. I turn around to look up at the hill, and that red dodgeball is coming down, and I'm hearing laughter coming from the top of the hill.
Oh.
Now, in between the time that Tina and Charlie went to go eat and the time that I got down to the gate, nobody had been there for maybe 20 minutes or so, and that was the only gate we were using. It had two gates, but that was the only one we were using at the time. So nobody was up at the hill. I got in my car and I took off. I called Tina. I was like, hey, if you can get my tools out of the parking lot, I left the gate open. You said you're on your way. I'll be back in the morning and I'll tell you what happened. Upon telling Tina the story, she simply said, well, it sounds like you got initiated.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's understandable to be freaked out. I feel like even as investigators, if stuff just happens when you're kind of minding your own business, it's way more startling than if it happens when you're actually looking for it. Especially since you were just working. In reference to, Waverly Hills and stuff, I know that was an incredible experience to have on your own, but do you think with these haunted attractions and stuff taking place that the energy that happens during, where the actors are scaring people and stuff, do you think that kind of amplifies the activity that happens on a location?
Absolutely. I can't tell you how many times Tina used to get mad at me because she would always find me out of my spot because I was so amped up during the haunted house that I would that I would jump out of my spot to get like two or three more scares before the next group comes in. I can't tell you how many times I've walked past a room to hear the actors asking the spirits for help. Like, okay, this next group is coming in. Let's get them. And upon shutting down, when the lights go out and the music goes off and all the people go home, I've walked through and shut down the building by myself after the haunt, and it's still going. Does that make sense?
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's funny, though, that the actors were asking the spirits for help. I mean, honestly, I think that's probably a lot of fun for the spirits, too, to have that kind of involvement.
Mm-hmm. They, there's a lot of people that will go through. Now, there's thrill seekers that will go through the haunted house. They want the craziest experience ever as far as, like, a actual commercialized haunted house. So they'll say, mm-hmm. like, something, a place like Waverly or whatever wasn't a good haunt. But there's other people that will go through who are just going up because it's Waverly. And they don't care about the haunt. They don't care about the oohs and ahs and everything else. But there's, I can't tell you how many people that just either friends or even just acquaintances that have told me that they've walked through, that they were going through the haunt and they were at the end of the line and they would feel something touch them or they would feel something whisper in their ear and they'd turn around to be nobody there. And it would be like a place, it would be like an area, it would be like an area that was like well lit. Maybe it was at the end of the haunt or something, or maybe it was in between where there's lights. So, I mean, whatever your preference, Waverly doesn't disappoint regardless of whatever the case is, whether you're going to the haunted house, you're going on a historical tour or you're going on whatever the case, it doesn't matter. Waverly doesn't disappoint for any reason whatsoever.
Absolutely. I mean, it's such a notorious location. And I mean, starting off at Waverly is really diving in the deep end of the paranormal. I mean, that's incredible that you started there, had those experiences. How did you go from going to Waverly Hills to being able to go into all of these other amazing locations and look around and urban explore?
So about a year and a half ago, I left Waverly, and I was kind of down and out, and I felt a hole in my heart kind of thing. I had been at Waverly mm-hmm. on and off for since like 2010. So like I felt a hole in my heart. I didn't really know what to do. And even at certain points in time, and this is going to sound crazy because some people have passion about drawing. Some people have passion about reading or getting the next story. Some people have passion about video games, whatever the case might be. And for mm-hmm. me, it was being inside the building. It was fixing something that was wrong. It was showing another investigator, if you go down this hallway, they might come out and talk to you, whatever the case. That was my passion. And my passion had essentially been ripped away from me, so I didn't really know what to do. So a bunch of friends of mine, and I'm going to do some little shout-outs here real quick, some friends of mine who I had essentially got my acquaintances through from being at Waverly, being the overnight guide and stuff like that. Namely, Stephen Dillon with Haunted Nights. You can check them out. I think they've got tours going on at Saratoga County Homestead coming out in April. And Kalani Ghost Hunter. Mm-hmm. And amongst a whole bunch of other different people, Courtney is at the Ghoul Guide. I mean, there was a bunch of people that, like, kind of, I'm not going to say came to the rescue, but was, like, right there when I needed them to be. Becky Gallantine being another. And they all kind of came to me right when I needed it. And they was like, dude, just come out and do what we're doing. Waverly's not the only haunted place out there. Waverly is not the mm-hmm. only person, not the only place that has despair or has love or whatever part of Waverly you were looking for. There's other places that have all that. So my first kind of bounce into going into an actual haunted place besides Waverly was a place called Rodwell Funeral Home. And I was excited a little bit. It was a really small venue, and I was used to being at a huge venue where I was able to get mm-hmm. up and walk around. I got bad ADHD and anxiety. So it was easy for me being at Waverly. If I got bored or if I was working or if I had to get somewhere fast, I could jump up and go. And so I was kind of downtrodden. And then my second place that I went to was a place called the Ohio State Reformatory. So anyone who knows Shawshank and all those different kind of movies. And I instantly, my hole in my heart was filled at that point in time. The second I saw the building, I got into the building, I started walking around, And then a whole bunch of other different places came, Pennhurst Asylum, along with other different places, Saratoga County Homestead, Norwich State Hospital, Indiana State Sanatorium, just a whole bunch of other different places. And it made me realize that, yes, obviously my heart and my home is at Waverly. There's other places that that I can essentially fill my void. So that's kind of where that came about.
I mean, those are some incredible locations you've been to. What do you think, kind of, as you said, your friends were telling you, whatever's drawing you to Waverly Hills, you can find in other locations. What about the locations do you feel draws you to them and makes you want to investigate them?
So there's a couple different things. So I've made a couple different videos of me cleaning up rooms. And sometimes that's just simply sweeping or mopping or whatever the case. And it fills my heart for anyone who might be still, that may be in the afterlife, that's still living amongst us, that might appreciate that, might appreciate that activity. And I'm one of those people that I need you to give me a cookie after I'm done doing something that I feel is spectacular. And it's not one of those things like, give me my cookie or give me my gold star. It's one of those things like, I get super excited about everything. So where, you know, McDonald's came out with the Boo Buckets again last year, and everyone was like, oh, okay, I had those when I was a kid. And I'm just like, I got to get the ghost one. I got to get the pumpkin one. I got to get the thing. And then you get all four of them, and you're like, look, guys, look what I have. And everyone's like, okay, so what?
Hey, the McRib's back.
The McRib is not what it used to be. Anyway.
My dad is a vegetarian for 25 years. I promise you he's never tasted a McRib in his life.
Well, that's true, yeah.
it's kind of one of those things. So, like, I get super excited over literally everything. Like, you could throw me – I could be a dog. You throw me a ball, my tail's going to wag. So going into these places for instance, there's a story that out of a place called Randolph County Infirmary. It's in Winchester, Indiana. There was something that drew me to a room at the asylum, and there was a little boy there. His name was Noah. He was 9 years old when he passed away, and he didn't die from anything bad. He died from a natural cause, from measles. So it wasn't like he died from like murder or anything like that. And so when I walked in the room, I noticed that there was candy wrappers on the floor. The room was a mess. There was paper strung out all over the place. So I took about 3 hours out of my overnight to clean up the room and get it back to like a suitable, livable type of this place has got electricity and everything, but and put it back to like a suitable place, like you would be comfortable going in there and sitting for a couple hours instead of being like, oh my God, is that a melted Tootsie Roll on the ground? So it's things like that that draw me to different places and different rooms and things like that at different places, where I feel the need to restore or, like you said, preserve, whatever the case. And with that story, whenever I was when I was walking out of the room, I was walking out backwards. I heard a little voice that, I'm not joking, I heard a little voice that said, that sounded like a little boy that said, thank you. After I had just got done saying, no, I hope your room's cleaned, or I hope you enjoy your room now that it's all cleaned up again. I think it's things like that. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the building or the cool things that come out of the buildings, you know, because every once in a while with like urbexing and stuff like that, if I come up to a building that still has everything in it and I know it's up for demolition, there might be something that I might pull from that location to keep a, to keep like a kind of a connection, I guess. So like whether it's a key plate or it's maybe it's an emergency room like wristband or something like that. It's things like that though that I believe that that draw me in and make me want to visit these locations.
Right.
Yeah, to kind of like clean up the area and, you know, make it suitable for the ghosts so they have something happy and not just dreary and dilapidated, give them some sort of normalcy.
Right. So we don't know what paranormal is, right? Nobody ever will know. What we do know is that, you know, that these entities were once people, we assume, and people have needs and people have wants and things like that. And if I was stuck in a building that people just came in and tore up, I would probably be upset.
Of course, yeah. Well,
I can't sleep there. Well, I can't walk around there because that's in the way, you know, whatever the case. So it's things like that that kind of draw me to those locations, to those buildings. It's just, I guess what it is, honestly, it's love for what humans take for granted today. So, you know, you walk into your house and it's clean because you just cleaned it. Well, you know, if, you know, somebody wasn't so respectful, you had someone come over for a party and they broke something and didn't tell you about it, you'd probably be upset. It's the same kind of thing. It's exactly the same kind of thing where I want, if you walk into a location and, you know, things are tore up and thrown around and everything else, there's nothing wrong with picking it up to make it feel suitable for the person that might still be there.
No, that completely makes sense. I mean, I never even thought of it that way. I mean, I think as a living person that, you know, there's so much beauty in the kind of abandon, just the way they look and stuff. But as a spirit, I can see where that would actually really annoy me. I mean, my parents got me a Bissell little green machine for Christmas because I like cleaning. I get really annoyed if it's something's dirty. So I could, thinking about it that way, see how as a spirit, I wouldn't share the same thoughts I do as a living person. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't do anything about that. And I'm just staring at this dirt that I can't move. So I can see how that would be helpful to a spirit to appease them.
You just put it in perspective. If you go back and look at the movie Beetlejuice by Tim Burton, it's the same thing when the two main characters die. They don't know they've died, and then they figure out they've died, and she can't clean up anything because everything's covered in dust, and the vacuum is out in the garage. So it's sort of the same thing, like, we don't know, you know, that could be the case. It may not be the case, but the paranormal is tricky like that, though.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I always thought about food, but actually thinking about, you know, having my stuff messed with would generally probably really irritate me if I was passed on. So, I mean, that's definitely a new perspective that I never even looked at. So I think it's really great that you do, you know, help kind of restore things and put things back in the order that the spirits would have had it in, to bring them comfort in what once was their living space.
Well, I appreciate that. That's kind of the whole goal. And for these abandoned places that have owners that don't do anything with the buildings, that's kind of the goal as well.
Yeah. I mean, like I said,
to kind of make them see that, you know, this building you could be doing something potentially with it, whether it's turning it into apartments or whether it's restoring it to give historical, maybe even paranormal tours, whatever the case, whatever the deal, that's kind of the goal. So whenever I put up a video on YouTube or I put up a video on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, whatever the case, if an owner just happens to be scrolling through and their building is just dilapidated and they don't do anything with it. They own it, but they don't do anything with it. They may actually see it and recognize it and be like, somebody was in my building. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. There's interest? maybe I should be doing something with it. If people are enjoying it like this without, you know, without me actually like charging them to be in it, maybe I've got something here. Maybe we should do something. That's the whole, that's part of the whole goal too, is that these, we don't need any more Lego style buildings in America is my whole thing. There's nothing wrong with taking an old abandoned building, restoring, if it's viable, if it's okay, structure's good. There's nothing wrong with restoring the building to what once was, or turning in, or, you know, turning it into a business, or, you know, whatever the case. If you go through downtown New Orleans, you're going to see a million buildings that are different stores and things like that, but they weren't always stores. Or they might have been, but they may have been a different store back in the day, back in the 30s, back in the 20s. They may have been a house, that, they may have been housing developments. Here in Louisville, Waverly is not the only tuberculosis hospital. There was Hazelwood Hospital, which was down the street from Waverly. There was even small little, like, shotgun houses in downtown Louisville that were small, secluded TB hospitals that nobody even knew about. It wasn't even they wasn't even like documented because they were so tiny. So it was basically just a mom, essentially. If anyone's ever been in an orphanage or anything, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you had a mom, and that mom was taking care of maybe 5-6 people that had tuberculosis if they weren't able to get into Waverly or Hazelwood or any of these other different properties. So it's just kind of one of those things, I guess.
Yeah, one location that kind of makes me think of what you're talking about, too, the restoration, but also the preservation. And there was this one theater on Broadway. I cannot remember the name of it, but they were wanting to build buildings where it was, but what they did is lifted it like 3 stories in the air, the original like 1930 or 20s musical theater, and just built under it. So they preserved the building while still being able to add and use the land while still preserving the history of that building.
I mean, there's that's great. There's a million different places like that. If you go one of my friends, Becky, just posted a video about a catacombs that's in the middle of Pittsburgh. You wouldn't even know it was there, a church that was built on top of a gravesite. Well, instead of pulling the graves up and the caskets and the bodies and everything, they built over top of it, and you could access the grave. You could access the graveyard by going into the church and going into the basement.
Oh,
yeah.
So now it's just considered a catacomb, but like, you know, preservation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it's so important to do that too. I mean, you have these buildings in England that are, you know, thousands of years old, and it's really cool. But since America's newer, I mean, I feel like a lot of the buildings, you know, people think can be torn down, but I mean, there's so much history to them and architecture and just things of a time period that you'll never see again, and there's so much beauty within it that, you know, some can be restored, some are too far gone, but if you can fix it up or use it for something different while keeping the structural integrity of what it was, that's always the best option.
Yep, I agree 100%.
I know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. And again, as mentioned, on ghosthunting.com, you can listen at both locations. Today we welcome Vince Keelan. I want to make sure I say it right. Everybody visit theurbaninvestigator.com. That's theurbaninvestigator.com. Instagram at theurbaninvestigator. YouTube subscribe to. These are great videos. The Urban Investigator. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back for the late edition of the show.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Coast with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on liveparanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporilli on liveparanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
Oh, poor Dave left out of the audio bites there, but he made it in there and everything. All right, Vince and Sophia, you're back on.
Vince, thank you again so much for coming on today.
Of course. That's so funny hearing Dave and Dustin and all those guys on your on the voiceovers. Known Dave for a couple of years now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a really great guy. That was really unexpected when he started doing the voiceover when we got back on air. I was like, oh, what's happening? So you never know what Dave's going to do. But as you were talking about, I mean, the preservation of such amazing locations, I know you were talking about your experience that you've had at Waverly Hills, but what is the craziest or most fascinating experience that you've had in the paranormal post Waverly Hills?
I just recently, there's a couple. The most recent one that I had that was like shock and awe, I guess. I went out to Old South Pittsburgh, not Old South Pittsburgh. I get them mixed up. Hospital on College Hill in West Virginia. And I went out with some buddies called Seeking Spirits. They're on YouTube and everything else as well. Good buddies of mine, good friends of mine. And we were kind of walking around with one of the owners, Tanya. Mm-hmm. We're walking around, and she's kind of telling us some history and showing us some spots and things like that. And this building is definitely had its fair share of oopsies. Tanya, Lexi, and Val, and Nick are sitting in the basement while I'm sitting on the landing of the steps. I'm sitting in the doorway of the steps, and I can see them, and we're all just kind of talking. I look up towards the entrance of the, and Lexi walks past the entrance, but I can see Lexi right here in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Is all that making sense?
Yeah, you were seeing someone that was there but not there. Right? Like one of your
friends?
Like
a doppelganger?
So Lexi is in the basement, and I can see her, and she's talking to Tanya, and I see her again in the same clothes and everything else walk past the entrance of the stairwell to my right.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's one that really kind of, post-Waverly that really sticks out. Probably my scariest, like that was jaw-dropping, but my scariest that I think I've ever had is a typical kind of like, you know, you're playing on Spirit Box and stuff like that, and you hear the words get out, and you're like, okay, yeah, well, whatever. I just got here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm at Pennhurst State School and Hospital for the first time. And I kind of venture off away from everybody else just for a few minutes, and I start walking over to what they call the Devon Building. The door is wide open. I walk over there. I've got my gimbal, and I've got my phone, and I'm ready to, like, shoot shorts and videos and all this other kind of stuff. I'm in creative mode and in investigative mode and everything else, and I get into the front right there in the lobby of the Devon building, and I see a shadow figure walk across, and I hear this loud, curdling sound of someone saying, "Get out."
Wow.
It was, and you know, I already told both of you, I've got anxiety through the roof, I've got ADHD and everything else, and it was all too much to handle all at once. I didn't go back to the Devon mm-hmm. building until probably 6 hours later.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to have someone yell "get out" at you like that. Definitely startling, and it's a lot to take in. I mean, that's the one thing about the paranormal is you never know what's going to happen, and sometimes it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, they I do have to add before any of the viewers are like, "Well, somebody else was in there. He said he was there with people." Everybody else was still over at the Mayflower building. There was nobody else in this mm-hmm. building. Got to make sure I clarify that for any of your listeners.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though. It's so, I mean, it's hard to explain, you know, the paranormal, because especially in the 21st century, there's so many ways to fake things. And, you know, I'm always saying, you know, the paranormal is so built on trust. And, you know, when you have experiences like that, it's hard to, you know, explain it to someone else. But, you know, it was a real experience, and it's something that always sticks with you.
Yeah, It's different too, because you don't always catch everything, mm-hmm. and when you don't catch it, it just becomes a personal experience. You know, you didn't feel the only person that knows it happened was you.
Mm-hmm.
So then at that point in time, you're talking about faking. You know, at that point in time, you know, there's no proof, there's no evidence, so you must be making it up, or you must be, you know, conjuring up whatever kind of story that you just wanted to come up with to impress others. But I think that's why a lot of people here lately, and other different creators and investigators and stuff that I talk to almost on a daily are afraid of, is because, you know, they go to tell a story and people are skeptical mm-hmm. because, you know, the typical ghosts aren't real type of talk. Well, did you catch it on camera? No. Did you have a recorder going? Well, no. Okay. Well, then, you know, I don't believe you. It's a rough field to be in. And if you don't have proof of whatever the case is, you're basically just in it for yourself.
Yeah. And like I said, with technology, I mean, people want to explain stuff away, but I find, at least in my personal experiences, some of the most interesting or, like, creepiest stuff that's happened to me has not been while investigating. So
oh, yeah,
there's
sure.
no way of capturing it, because it's just, you know, sitting around doing nothing. You know, I was at a haunted house in L.A., and I was sitting watching TV, and then a door opened by itself. That freaked me out, because I didn't want the door to open by itself. I wanted to watch TV. So,
well, yeah,
you know,
of
you
course.
Have just...
It's one of those things.
Weird
you
stuff
can't,
happens.
You can't get away from it. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I think that's the thing about the paranormal. Sometimes you have the craziest experiences when you're not actively looking.
Of course.
I mean, those are amazing. Is there any location, like you said, you had to come back 6 hours later, but is there any location you have investigated that you felt like needed a follow-up?
That's a tricky question, because I believe that every location needs a follow-up, regardless mm-hmm. of what had happened before, what, you know, oh, well, you know, we caught a full-bodied apparition and a shadow figure, and we got voices on the recorder and everything at Pinhurst Asylum, so there's no need to go back. Absolutely, there's a reason to go back, so you can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple. So Sweet Spring Sanitarium is was used for tuberculosis and airborne diseases and things like that. It was also a resort park. I think Andrew Jackson had stayed there at some point or something. It was something to do with the president. I'm not sure which one it was. But mm-hmm. that one needs another do-over, and I've already been three times. Bobby Mackey's, we had caught a mouse on camera, And we kind of just debunked everything that we got at Bobby Mackey's because of that reason. So I think that Bobby Mackey's needs a do-over as well, but Bobby Mackey's, I'm not really sure what's going on over there. It seems as if there's either some demolition going on or there's restoration going on. I'm not sure what they're doing, but they're apparently going to be shutting down here soon for one of the two. Nobody's really sure, you know, because people talk too much instead of, like, reading the first thing that you come across. They, you know, they just assume, well, it's getting torn down. Well, you know, then somebody else says, it's not getting torn down. The roof's getting replaced. So I'm not really sure what's going on over there, but Bobby Mackey's Sweet Spring Sanitarium. And I think the two of those need really big do-overs. Too many pieces of tainted evidence, I guess. And we definitely need a do-over at those two locations.
Well, those are great locations. And if you could investigate anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Owned and operated. Winchester Mystery House is a big one on the list. I've had some buddies already go out there and film, and apparently their HR team is kind of open for it. I'm hoping that at some point in time that they'll be so open to where I can get out there and conduct an investigation myself. Winchester, and then out of the country, so over towards you guys, would be Loftus Hall in Ireland.
Yeah, those are great locations. Speaking of locations too, I saw that you did an investigation at Harriman Hospital. Can you tell the audience about that investigation?
Harriman's wild, just to start off. Heard one of the landlines ringing, which obviously there's no landlines in operation at Harriman. We had seen a couple of shadow figures, which is wild for people to say, but I'm used to the phrase because of Waverly, the way all the hallways are opened up and everything. So I'm used to saying the word shadow people or shadow figures. We saw a couple of shadow figures at Harriman. We got quite a bit of disembodied voices in real time, not just on recorder, not just on video. Harriman's a wonderful location. I can't wait to go back to that place. You talk about a do-over. I don't need a do-over. I just need to go back again.
Yeah, I had actually never heard of it until recently, and I've seen quite a few investigators go there, but it's actually pretty funny because my dad's adopted, and we found out that his birth family's last name is Harriman. So we think it's quite ironic to see the Harriman investigation. So I had to know more about it since I literally hadn't even heard of it until recently, and it seems to become quite a hot spot in the paranormal.
And we're all born at the same hospital, so it's like maybe they'll name that Harriman Hospital.
Right. Harriman's wild, and pretty much everybody who's anybody as far as online, you know, obviously there hasn't been a whole lot of TV. There hasn't been a whole lot of TV guys there, but everyone from Exploring with Josh to Kalani Ghost Hunter to Haunted Nights, me. I mean, pretty much everyone has now been there, and everyone just keeps going back because it's such an active location. Harriman is looking at a top five, with obviously my home being number one just because I'm biased, but Harriman is on that list. Pennhurst is on that list. Norwich State Hospital is on that list, and I will say probably Saratoga County Homestead is on that list. Those locations in general have given me the most TBGBs that you could possibly get.
Well, that's awesome. Now if only I could convince my new family to host a family reunion over there, we can get the Harriman in Harriman. I'll see if I can convince my uncle. Yeah, so, I mean, that's really awesome to hear that it's that haunted. And you've gone to, like I said, so many incredible locations. Hopefully you'll get to go to the Winchester Mystery House soon. Definitely would love to go there. Do you think I would fall out of a door? Don't know which door would fall out of one of them.
I know which door.
So there's a, my buddies, Steve and Dylan, are they're the only investigative team that has done Winchester besides Sam and Colby. So obviously you say Sam and Colby, that's the biggest name in the YouTube field. As far as haunted and paranormal and everything else. But they're the only people besides Sam and Colby that have done that location. And they told me there's doors that you can walk out of that will essentially send you to the outside with no platform, no deck, no nothing.
Yeah, so, that does sound like the ones I would accidentally open.
Yeah.
I'm accident prone.
That would be your
luck. A great person to have in the dark with no light.
The two of you might know each other way too well.
Well, he did kind of raise me, so I would hope he would know me. But yeah, I mean, it's been
I've fetched
been
a lot
great.
Of bandages over there.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I get it from my mom, so he kind of has to deal with two of us. It's hereditary.
Yeah.
Really happy I have that trait. It's wonderful.
Right.
But I know we're coming towards the end of the show, Vince. It's been amazing having you on. Please let the audience know any websites, upcoming interviews, events, videos, or anything that you would like to mention.
So a whole slew of different conventions this coming up year. I will be at the Bell Mansion in Indiana for the 28 Days Haunted event there in January. If anyone who doesn't watch Netflix like everybody else, that is Shane Pittman and Ray and Amy and all those wonderful people that was on the show. I'll be there with them as a vendor. And then the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash, I think, is somewhere towards the summer. ISS Con, which is Indiana State Sanatorium. I will be at Michigan Paracon, which I think is September. I'm getting some mixed up here. I have Madison Seminary, which is MadCon, and then Fairfield County Infirmary, which will be FCI Con. And I don't think I'm missing any, but you can find me at all those conventions this coming up year. I'm actually a guest at a few of them. And you can find me at theurbaninvestigator.com for my website, at The Urban Investigator, everywhere else for all social media. And if anyone – here's one thing that's been really cool here lately. If anyone wants to take home a piece of haunted memorabilia from me, you can go to my Etsy store and my link tree on the website. I take debris, basically trash, but it's concrete, plaster, paint, screws, nails, stuff like that from haunted locations, and I put them into resin molds. So it's a way for you to take home. It's a way for you to take home a little bit from a haunted location, you know, and have yourself. And I do magnets and keychains and all that kind of fun stuff on my Etsy store. And then I have a bonfire like everybody else. And, that's all me.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Vince. It's been great talking to you, and you're always welcome back on in the future.
It was an absolute blast. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks so much, Vince.
Thank you.
All right, fantastic show today, Sophia.
Absolutely. Vince was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely not be possible without all of you, and I'll talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
And I think that's totally cool. He's got an Etsy store as well, so definitely check that out. And I'm going to make sure I get in here, too, as well with that. TheUrbanInvestigator.com, that's TheUrbanInvestigator.com, and as Vince said, he'll be adding tours on there, too, as well, at
Urban Investigator on Instagram, YouTube, subscribe, The Urban Investigator. And as you mentioned, an Etsy store. And so check out his items there. Coming up next weekend, we have psychic remote viewer and author Rick Wade. That's the 16th. The Haunted Lodge documentary psychic investigator Jill Marie Morris will be on the program on the 23rd. Author, teacher, and ghost tour host Robert Oakes will be on the program on January 6th, the first guest of the new year. Texas Ghost Seekers team founder and clairaudient Alex Fountain will be on the program January 13th. You don't want to miss any of these shows. We have other people that are securing their guest spots as we speak. So like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Facebook fan page to learn of those guests real time, and we'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.